and that computer know who you are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk.
Bombastic. Donne-moi ton boom, boom, boom.
Good morning.
Boom, boom, boom.
This boom, is Tech Talk.
Boom, boom, boom.
Is it? It is.
So that means you must be Michael Tech Talk Castle. I must be Dave Sparky.
Saganaki.
I'm thinking about changing my name, by the way.
What? I just got used to the... Okay, now what's the new one going to be?
No, no, new one, just my first name. I'm just thinking about changing my... Instead of Dave, I think I'm going to go with Sashimi.
Sashimi,
Sparky
Saganaki. I like it. Very eclectic.
I'm on the quest fusion. Yeah, well, I don't know. Would you really eat sashimi and Saganaki at the same meal? I don't know.
If it was sparking.
I'm on the quest for the perfect radio name. One of the best radio names I ever heard was Coyote Calhoun.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like to get that one. That would be sort of that good. Yeah.
Dave... Radio sweetheart, America's radio sweetheart.
Anyway, what's new in tech? We're here to talk about technology.
We are. Yeah. What? Oh my God. Well, I know we're gonna have Jay on to save us a little bit later.
Jay Garman.
Jay.
Mr. Geek. Mr. Geek Trivia.
Garmonica. We gotta get a better name for him too. I kind of like Encyclogarmonica, but it doesn't roll off the tongue mellifluously like
We've
want to.
We've got to work on our handles.
Yeah. Oh, and I should mention, I'm throwing in a word like mellifluously, specifically for our good friend and longtime listener Steve, who you can find on Money Plan SOS.
He's in St. Louis, right?
He is St. Louis Steve. Money Plan SOS. I'm doing a plug for you, Steve. I know you're going to appreciate it. Where's our little bell? Ding, ding, ding. In the list of podcasts better than ours. So that's one of the ones you can check out.
That's a short list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even going to comment on that. So after Jay, I promise we've missed cool sites of the week for several weeks. So this week I'm gonna crank some out there this week.
Maybe we should do it sooner.
We got a podcast only. So yeah, but you know that would throw off my whole post production process.
Oh, okay.
If I had to hunt for, I'd have to actually re-listen to the whole show to find those cool sites of the day. If I threw it somewhere else.
I got you.
You know.
They're so good, though. Nobody wants to do that. It's a shame. You come up with great cool sites of the week, and it's a shame that that gets bumped.
I know. But you know what? It always gets bumped for a good reason. We have wonderful guests.
That's modesty for you. I say, you come up with great cool sites. You go, yeah, I know. Not thank you. Dave.
I didn't take that as a compliment to me. I took that as a compliment to the internet in general. You know, Mr. Internet, thank you for your years of service, the wonderful cool sites that you have given us.
Shout out.
And speaking of shout outs, I'll be surprised if Jay does not bring this up. This is the month that MIT 50 years ago, what is commonly hailed as the very first video game was birthed. In MIT's Kluge lab with the PDP-1.
And what was the first video game?
It's called Space Wars.
Space Wars. Yeah.
Very similar to Asteroids, which came soon thereafter. But of course, it was done by the MIT guys, so they had a lot of fun programming it. It was a two-player game where you'd have to shoot at each other.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there was a sun in the middle which exerted appropriate gravitational force on the players. So you had to, you could do slingshot, gravitational effects, all sorts of things. And then the stars, you know how in Asteroids there's the stars around? On the MIT version of Space Wars, the stars were an actual accurate representation of the night sky that you would see in Cambridge when you would
when
you'd go look outside. So,
very cool.
So I've got my own little set of geek trivia there to throw. But this is the
top that, Jay Garman.
Yeah.
Throw that glove down.
Somehow I think he'll do very well.
I have no,
he might smoke you.
I may have some unbridled or unnecessary arrogance in some areas, but certainly not there. I know Jay's Jay's got that one wrapped
Jay
up.
Jay can accidentally, you know, come up with stuff like like that.
Yes.
Like double or triple.
Absolutely. No, he'd give us another 5 minutes on. For sure.
Yeah.
So, but I thought that was kind of exciting and interesting. You know, big things to think about for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I know video games were a pretty big part of my life.
Thank God I've gotten over the addiction. I don't know. Well, you know, you hate to admit that it's an addiction, but I think it was there for a while.
Oh, absolutely. This is a problem, too, is I have recently gotten re-addicted to a video game that I haven't played for years and years, but, again, was one of those that just sucked up hours and hours of time. So I'm trying to break myself of it. It's Tetris. Zynga on Facebook has got a new version of Tetris out called Battle Tetris. And so you compete. It's kind of like Dr. Mario, if you ever played Dr. Mario back in the day.
No, I never did.
You compete against other people playing Tetris.
Tetris, wow.
Yeah, and the way that it works is as you, if you clear two lines or more in one go or as a series, it will throw a blocked in line at the at your opponent, and it's neat, it's fun, it's enjoyable. You play a bunch of people that that have you know, Chinese characters in their names because they're playing apparently a lot over in China, but it's probably kicking your butt too. And they do. Well, you know what I found? It's actually
that's a stereotype, isn't it?
What's really interesting though is that I've found a level, my level. I'm at level, I think it's 15, is Pioneer, which is right below 16, which is the Whiz.
Yeah.
And I can't break it. I can't, that's where I'm at all the time. I'm a level 15 guy. I may dip to 14 sometimes, and I may get up to close to the top of level 16, but I'm homed in there. So apparently it's a pretty accurate representation of my ability. And I'm way, way overthinking this game of Tetris.
But it's funny how that stuff can take hold of us sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to read more about it. Why do we get so caught up sometimes? Is it about, an escape? Is it escapist? Is it introspective? What is it?
I'm sure, respondent conditioning and Skinner boxes and all the other good stuff come into play.
Just hiding from the world.
Yeah.
I remember back, way, way back, you know, we'd rent like two or three games and stay up all night trying to get to the end of them before they had to go back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember one of my favorite ones to do that with. There was a buddy of mine named Andy, and when I was living in an apartment downtown Chicago, I remember us always renting this game called Gods out. It was for the Super Nintendo, and it was a very small release game, but cool graphics, and we would rent it out probably once every week, about once every 2 weeks or so. We'd go and we'd rent it out and try to get to the end. The cool thing was, of course, is that they only had one copy of it, so our save games were always on it, because nobody else ever rented this game out. So we'd always go back and get that and have a few drinks.
Well, that was the thing too. You'd be greasy, you'd be so greasy, bad posture, from slouching down and it's horrible. It's horrible.
Grab a couple of pizza pies in the corner.
Couldn't do that anymore. You know, I have to worry about your cholesterol.
Yeah.
So, what's new in technology news? Anything? Anything good?
Is
the iPad really coming out? iPad 3.
The iPad 3. They're talking about the iPad 3. It's definitely really, really coming out. The bigger question is whether the mini iPad's going to be coming out. 7.8 to or 7 to 8 inch form factor that which would match, say, the Kindle Fire and the Nook and all this. And there's a lot of debate or dispute about whether that makes sense for Apple and whether they'll release something of that form factor.
Yeah.
I know Steve Jobs publicly said he was never going to release an iPad of that form factor.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said a lot of things, which then
changed.
And he's not at the helm anymore. So it's...
Excuse me. Not that we know of, anyway.
Yes, no. He's... You know what? I believe he's with Walt Disney and... and was it... Who was else was supposedly frozen? Was it Mussolini or...
No. Who was the baseball guy that was...
That's right. That's right.
Not Joe DiMaggio.
No.
Another big guy.
Big
hitter.
Hank Aaron?
No.
I know who you're talking about.
But anyway, so and what recently came out this week is FBI files on Steve Jobs.
Yes,
which
yes.
Not a big surprise. I mean, anybody that's... He was appointed to first President Bush's Commission on Imports, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so any national... You know, presidential appointment would be vetted by the FBI.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, though. It appeals to our prurient interests to, get inside of people's head and see what the government profilers. That's what I like about it. It's almost less for me about seeing what Steve Jobs is about, because I think we have a pretty good sense of that already. There's not a lot of, real revelation in this release. For me, it's more about that. What are the... what are the FBI profilers really like? You know, what kind of stuff do they have to write up? And I find that fascinating that they really did spend some time not just looking at personal events in his life or making observations about his actions, but really trying to get a sense for how his internal life had developed and changed and expressed itself. There's points in it where they speak specifically to say that, Jobs had undergone a change in philosophy by participating in Eastern and or Indian mysticism and religion. And they said then specifically that this apparently influenced the appointee's personal life for the better. You know, making comments and commentary like that about Jobs and about his life, I think almost elevates some of these articles and descriptors to a higher level, a level of I wouldn't go so far as to say art, but at least of insight that you wouldn't expect from a government document.
Yeah, it's certainly more nuanced than you would expect from the Hoover era.
Thank you. Exactly.
And probably from that era, he would be condemned for having any association with Eastern religion.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. It was a surprisingly, at least the parts that I was able to read, and a lot of it was redacted, of course. And you can't.
You got to wonder about that.
Well,
what could they have redacted? Well,
in most cases, and I didn't read all of it. I didn't go through every single page of it. But the ones that I was able to look at and spend some time on, it looked like the redactions were really done to protect other individuals as opposed to protect certain things that Jobs himself had done. What they would do is they would set up and say, Steve Jobs, or the appointee, they always refer to him. The appointee has shown himself to be a demanding leader. Here is an example, and then the whole example's redacted. Clearly, that's not necessarily done to protect Steve and his legacy, but done to protect whoever it was that
got chewed
was.
Out. Yeah.
Exactly.
They got humiliated and embarrassed, as Jobs was wont to do.
Yes. Yeah, and now and Jobs himself, and is clearly reported in the report, is that he was a heavy user of marijuana, hashish, and LSD from 70 through 74, but then they say that he gave that up and was clean for the years prior to his review for appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I thought it was very individual or very interesting. The other thing that that I found interesting was, again, that they also brought up this questionable honesty side of Jobs, whether he was honest in his dealings with people and with himself and with his company. And that, I think, was one of the major reasons they didn't put him as an appointee. Jobs was famous, this is in the article that I was reading, Jobs was famous for what many called his reality distortion field.
Yeah.
It was his ability to convince people that seemingly impossible tasks were in fact possible, but it also too, you know, created this sense of him as sort of deceptive and strong-willed and, you know,
yeah,
just
manipulative,
driven.
Yeah, driven. Yeah, he was.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I don't think he. I don't think he would have necessarily wanted him as a friend, or to work under him. But I don't know. It's kind of a mix. It's hard, you know, it's hard to get a sense of who he really was, given the biographies and stuff that are, you know. I think there was a certain, and he could be very charming when he wanted to be.
Yeah.
So,
did he have a lot of friends? I don't know that he had a lot of friends, period. I mean, there was not a lot of information out about his relationship with his wife. I know there were some trying times there, but I don't know.
He did have a lot of friends. He did. One of my favorite stories from the Isaacson biography was Joan Baez. He dated Joan Baez for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really.
There's a 14-year age difference. He was 27 at the time. She was 41.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point, he was telling her about this really beautiful dress he'd seen. I can't remember the designer off the top of my head. It's a very well-known designer. And this beautiful red dress would look great on you. And so she was very excited. She thought, well, that's great. He's going to buy me a dress.
He's going to buy
his dress. Yeah. And so they go down there, and she's trying on the dress, he buys himself some shirts and some slacks and all that. And he goes, do you like the dress? And she goes, yes. He said, well, you should buy it. And she said, well, I can't really afford it. It was a very expensive dress. He said, oh, too bad.
Very nice.
And recounting this to Isaac,
and they didn't get married. I don't understand. Where's the Jobs Baez love child?
Well, she, in her autobiography, she doesn't even mention him, or just barely. She mentions his name.
But I got to try that on the wife. You know,
too bad.
Honey, come with me. I saw that. Of course, we'd be going to TJ Maxx.
Yeah. The dress barn.
Yes, exactly. I hope it's still on the rack, honey.
What was it? Oh, years ago, I was a little broke. You know, I got the girlfriend a coat from Marshalls. She put it on. Oh, this is nice. Did you get it from Fields? You know, I said, well, sort of. No, Marshall Fields. I don't know. I tried to find some way not to appear quite as cheap as I was.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think that's a struggle we all have. And as we're coming to Valentine's Day, of course, that's on all of our minds. How to appear not quite as cheap as we really are, guys.
I'll go to the cemetery and get flowers, you know.
Yeah, no, that's not a good thing. Since we're on the topic of Apple, though, I'm gonna skip over some of there's been a lot of talk, and I know we've talked on air here a few times about Motorola suing Apple and succeeding in their suits against Apple in Germany in particular, and how the iCloud has been basically shut down in Germany because of the push email feature and functionality, which Motorola and Motorola Mobility says they own. That's their thing. And in order for Apple to use that, they would have to pay for licensing of it, which they're not willing to do. Well, Motorola actually just lost their most recent suit against Apple, where they were trying to shut down Apple's ability to use the 3G network in Germany, essentially. And it's a rather convoluted suit. It gets more and more... you got to have some credit for these judges who are reading this stuff and really making an attempt. And you know, it's not anywhere near the ballpark of their specialty and expertise. But basically, what it comes down to is that there's some signaling functionality and features that are built into the 3G standard, which are owned under patent by Motorola. It has to do with adding pseudo noise and then removing the pseudo noise at the end of the signal in order to ensure ensure this, you know, this transmission has occurred successfully and that it's a certain standard of clarity. And basically, Motorola was on the board for determining the patents, or for, I'm sorry, for determining the standard. But they've also got patents that are used by the standard. And that's a known thing that happens. And so the law is that that means then you have to license it, you know, and that's how it's supposed to work. But
well, Motorola's willing to license it. Apple's not willing to pay for the license, though.
Exactly. Yeah. And so and Apple's trying to make the case to say, you know, look, it doesn't work because you can't build this, you know, patented thing into the standard, number one. But they said, number two, we're not using it anyways. We can use the standard without you, without encroaching on your patent. And Motorola is saying, no, the standard is such that if you're using and communicating on our 3G networks, then, you know, de facto, you have to be using this technology, which is patented. Now, they lost it, though. So,
Lost, Motorola?
Yes, Motorola lost this one. This is the one out of three now that they've
also it's moving up the food chain or the court system.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. Now they gave Apple the ability to sell their phones and iPads again in the German market, but supposedly that's going to be shut down again very soon, and so that those court cases can come to play as well, and that has more to do with the user interface and some other things that Motorola is competing against. But this one here is a good one for Apple to win. This will really kind of open the door for them to at least continue using their communications technology at its core. And this is much more of a core piece of the equipment. It more has to do with the chip level and the software, you know, the core operating system pieces that that deal with the transmission specs, less so than, you know, a lot of the interface stuff. That stuff can be changed relatively easily compared to this type of a loss, which would have been very difficult for Apple to, you know, recreate, essentially.
You would think they could afford to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, you know what they could have done? They just hire some sweatshop in China and let them work on it.
Are we talking about Foxconn? No.
No. I wouldn't want to talk about Foxconn. Oh, man. You know, and boy, it is getting right along the time line here. Why don't I give our good friend Jay Garman a call?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I think...
I've been away, so I haven't heard him for a while.
That's true. You haven't. And he hasn't heard you for a while. He jumped in last week. And he's like, I can tell by the desperation in your voice that Dave is not there.
Hello?
Good morning, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hey,
hi, Jay. How are you?
I was just telling Dave that I apparently just reek of desperation when Dave's not here. So...
It's World's Worst Cologne, yes.
it just reminds me of, you know, my college and dating days, really, I think.
Well, Jay, it's good to hear from you. You sound great. Sound like things are going well there down in Louisville.
Well, we dodged yet another snowstorm. So, you know, I don't know what ancient pantheon of gods we have pleased recently, but I'm going to keep burning that sage and hope it keeps up.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if there's any gods that accept, you know, horse, a pound of horse flesh for that. But, we were not so lucky up here. We got a few, a few inches. But, you know, I have to say, though, it's kind of nice. We actually now can say that we had a winter, whereas if we just kept going along as we had been, I don't know if I would have felt comfortable going into spring.
Yeah. This is only like our third storm this year, and they've been relatively low, or not a lot of snow, but they've been nasty little storms, is that because we tend to get ice with them a little bit.
Yep.
My only main concern about this lack of legitimate winter around here is that it tells me the allergy explosion in the spring is going to be awful, just awful.
Yeah, that's right. You're a sufferer, too. Yeah, about half of my family is to one degree or another, and you're right. I did not give that a thought. That's that's not going to be fun as everything starts blooming, and the mold as well is also an issue because you don't have a lot of everything frozen and killed. It's all waiting there and ready to go.
Allegra's pretty good.
Do like
I'm a Zyrtec man myself, as long as we're doing it at unsolicited product club.
Where the heck is that bell?
Loratadine.
I've been given a lot of unsolicited things. I railed against Sirius and XM Radio last week, and so I couldn't use the bell for that.
I've got Sirius and XM.
Do you? Yeah. Do you? I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan, I got to say.
Well, a case can be made either way.
Yeah. You know, it depends on what I said at the end of it, and I don't want to recap my entire rant on it from last week, but basically at the end of it, I said, for specific use, it's an appropriate thing, particularly for talk radio stuff, news. It's great because you can get CBC, for example, which I love, the Canadian Broadcasting Company shows and things like that. But if you actually want to listen to music, I much prefer using my cell phone for that. With a Bluetooth connection. Quality's better, and the selection is more unique and specific.
So what do you think, Jay? Do you use satellite radio at all or no?
I do not, but that's not so much an indictment as the service as the fact that I'm unbelievably cheap. So I'm not going to go buy I'm not going to pay a monthly service for a radio. Also, me being the weirdo that lives in the small town in the Midwest, my commute back when I had one, because I work out of my house, is all of 10 minutes. So, you know, I spend on a bad day half an hour in my car. It's just not worth it. I don't have a long, grinding commute. It's the same reason that smartphones weren't real popular in my hometown for a long time, because we're not stuck on a train for 2 hours a day where we got to check our email to get our day started. It's like, oh, I had a really bad commute today. It took 20 minutes. That's just sort of how we roll around here.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Exactly. Yeah, no, the working from home thing, I've been doing that now for about 6 months or so. And, it's there's a lot of little things like that. I feel bad on about once a week or so. I look at my list of podcasts and I'm like, man, I am so far behind. I don't have time. I don't commute, so there's no real opportunity for me to catch up on a lot of the podcasts that I used to listen to.
Well, you know, I'm the only guy that is remote consistently, other than our QA guy at the office. And so people are like, oh, we're sorry you miss all the chitter chatter and all the meetings we have, and you're always a little bit out of the loop and stuff. And now they're starting to come around as we've gotten big back at the fire. It's like, you know what? It's really hard to get stuff done in the office. And so now, like, where I was the only guy in the Google Hangout for the meetings, I'm like one of like five people in the Google Hangouts for the meetings, because people are starting to work from home up there just to actually get things done. Mm-hmm. So my disadvantage for being remote is slowly eroding as they understand the wisdom of my plan of attack.
Yes. Yeah, I think it depends on your role in the organization too. You know, telecommuting is such a huge boon, I think, financially for both the company, but also too for the employee. But productivity wise, I mean, yeah, you do miss out on some of these meetings, but what you miss out on the most is those drive-by meetings. You know, the CFO or whoever walking by your office and saying, oh, hey, Jay, I just remember I needed to, and that kind of thing really shouldn't be taking up a lot of your day anyways. At least it has always kind of irritated me. You know, it's like, if you've got a real project for me to work on, then let's talk about it and make it a project. Don't just throw something at me as you're walking by. So I think if it's handled well and handled appropriately, and if you're in the right role for it, telecommuting is fantastic.
Yeah, well, being the in-house writer, my role is you know, I like it when I have concrete deadlines and concrete goals and whatnot. But when I'm in the office, it's sort of, hey, can you take a look at this? Do you see if this sounds right? And what do you think about X? And how would you, and just on and on and on. It's just sort of a, because everybody is terrified of making a grammatical error or, you know, wants to spit shine, even the latest bit of copy. At some point, I got to go, you know what? If the pop-up menu says click here as opposed to click on this, it's not really worth my time to edit, you know.
Yeah,
just do it, and if there's an issue, we'll eventually catch it, but don't have me literally, like, it got to the point at one time I was copy editing all the menu events Like, really?
Yes.
How many different ways could you say download? Well, we know about maybe download versus export versus local download. Like, how about we just put download, and if you want to A-B test something, go have a party. But, you know, a 15-minute meeting with me about the subtextual implication of download versus export, not a good use of anybody's time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, and it's the same thing is true in the IT departments, too. You know, when I was director of IT and CIO and stuff on these, you know, school districts and smaller corporations and things, I'd be the top IT guy in the company, and what do people stop by my office for? Not to talk strategy, not to work out details of business, but, you know, I've got this really big picture that I want to put on the web page. How do I compress that thing? hey, I heard that you can download movies for free through some crazy website that my son told me about. How come I can't get there when I'm logged in at work? You know, it's like, hey, isn't there something better we could be doing with our time right now?
Just my solution to that, because I've done some tech support work as well, is to have photocopied lists of all the Google search operators and just hand it to them and say, you can go figure this out. Here's what quotation marks do in a search query. Here's what plus does in a search query. You go. I trust that you can go Google this, because I guarantee you 95% of those questions have an answer that's within the first three clicks of a Google search. Just go do that.
Oh, you know, and there is a fantastic, fantastic site. I'm going to have to look it up because I can't remember the name off the top of my head. This was a cool site of the week, and it's something like letmegooglethisforyou.com or something along those lines, and it's fantastic. The interface is you type in a Google search operator, And then you get a link for that. And when you send it to the person, they click on that link, and it basically has a little like a webcast of the Google website. The mouse going up and clicking in the search bar, typing in whatever your search term was, and clicking search. And then a little pop-up comes up and says, "Now was that so hard?" And then they're brought to the Google page with their search results, so they can get what you're trying to set, to get to them. I would use that. I use that all the time for people that I knew would not be mortified and offended by it. But it's a great way to not only instruct people in the proper usage of Google, but also to give them a little tweak to say, you know, you could probably have figured this out on your own.
Yeah, I got in trouble for using that because I would literally copy and paste the question from the email and then send them the link back with that. So it's like, how do I, you know, connect to Google Cloud Print? How do I connect to Google Cloud Print? First result. Here's how you connect to Google Cloud Print. Like, really?
Yes, yes.
Was it that much harder to put that into a search bar as opposed to the body of an email text?
Exactly. And that website is LMGTFY, which just stands for letmegooglethatforyou.com. So if you want to be kind of a jerk, you know, which many of us in IT, I think, are comfortable with, then that's... That's the way to go. Just give it a thought as to whether it will impact your employment possibilities at your organization before you send it out.
Well, most IT departments, in my experience and having been part of them, are a lot like government bureaucracies. What is the minimal amount of work I can do to make you stop bothering me?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, and that's kind of what they're measured by is, you know, did you do the minimal amount of work in order to move on to whatever the next issue was? Even if there is no next issue, did you do that and do it quickly enough that we don't have to pay you any extra, and that usually does it. And unfortunately, too, a lot of the tech support tends to be kind of based on that same governmental equation of, are you minimally competent to perform your duties? And if so, then fantastic, you've got a job for life.
Can you handle verbal abuse? Can you speak passable English? And can you read from a script?
There you go. Minimally competent standards. I love it. and I speak from experience, having worked both in government and also, too, in medicine, where the whole process of being licensed to practice medicine is an exercise in determining if you are minimally competent to do so. I'm not even going to go any further with that. Not to cast any aspersion against the many, many, many fantastic doctors that are out there. But the licensing process may leave a little bit to be desired in some cases.
Well, you know what they call the guy who graduates last in his class in medical school?
Doctor. That's exactly right.
That's the other one. C's and D's equal degrees. Yeah.
C's and D's. That's all you need to do. Pass that final exam and you're ready to go. Yeah. So at any rate, I'm just gonna warn you, Jay. I was worried because we had a big conversation earlier, and while we were talking about it, I thought, boy, I hope that this isn't included in Jay's geek trivia of the day. We talked about that this is the 50th anniversary of the first video game that came out from MIT's Kluge Laboratories, of course, and all that. I hope that isn't what you were thinking of talking about today.
My new question is actually far more obscure than that.
Okay, fantastic. I was warning you because I was saying, boy, if I stepped on his question, then I got to give him a little bit of fair warning here because we don't work these out in advance. Folks, anybody that's listening and thinks this is a highly structured show with lots of preparation time, they are sorely mistaken. I did get some...
Well, no, I can't give you guys any heads up about the question because we're pretty certain the customer Jones has a studio bug.
Yeah, exactly. this is an issue, and she did get last week's question, I believe, correct as well. And the question from last week is very very timely. Had to do with Facebook and Facebook's IPO. And other than the founders, you said there were three individuals who stood to make millions of dollars off of Facebook's upcoming IPO. And the question was, who were those individuals?
Actually, it was billions with a B.
Oh,
not millions.
I missed that.
So these are going to be very rich people. And the infuriating thing is they were rich already. The three founders of Facebook, for those of you scoring at home, are Mark Zuckerberg, Dustin Moskovitz, and Eduardo Saverin. And between them, they're going to make... $29.5 billion and $16.5 billion, and $12 billion of that is just Zuckerberg. He controls 24% of the company. But there's three investors that aren't founders that are going to make the most, other than investment firms, but individuals. One is Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, who was played by Justin Timberlake in the Social Network movie. He owns 4% of the company. He's going to make $2 billion. Probably. The next is Peter Thiel. He's the co-founder of PayPal. He runs the hedge fund Clarium Capital, and he personally stands to get about 3% of the company, or $1.5 billion. And the third most non-founder invested in Facebook is Bono from U2. He owns 1.5% of Facebook, which should be worth about $750 million, or $750 million. Now it's shelled. You won't see Bono's name as such on any of the investment because he has a shell investment firm called Elevation Partners. But that's basically just him, Bono. So he's going to make. He owns 1.5% of Facebook because making all the money YouTube makes isn't enough.
Yeah,
he's got all the chunks of Facebook.
And that's why we haven't seen a new album from YouTube.
Well, yeah, that'll help. That'll probably just barely cover the losses for Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. That's very likely, yes. Yeah. He and the Edge, who invested in that gypsy-cursed Broadway musical that actually harms its performers consistently.
Yeah. Yes. I think more money was made off of Spider-Man the musical parodies than was made off of the actual Spider-Man the musical. So that doesn't surprise me. Now, an interesting thing, too, and I don't have this information up in front of me, so I can't give accurate detail on this, but I caught a bit of a news article they were showing on, I don't even know what TV station was on. It was one of the nightly news stations, and they were talking about one of the unheard of stockholders in Facebook, and it was the guy who had done the graffiti on the wall of the Facebook building. Apparently, they paid him a bunch of stock to do the graffiti outside of their building. Basically a Facebook kind of wall thing, and he held the stock. He didn't sell it for paint or rags or whatever, huffing or whatever it was he was doing at the time, and he's like, I'm speaking poorly of this guy, and there's no reason to. He seems like a fine gentleman, other than his his penchant for paint.
He got lucky. He just got lucky.
Yeah, so he's gonna stand if he cashes it in to pull in several $1 million himself.
That reminds me of there was a list of unlikely millionaires coming out of the Google IPO back in 2004. My favorite one was Google's first masseuse. She got a small little stock package along with her salary when she became the in-house masseuse, the first one they hired, and she still worked there, but she was going to be, get $3 or $4 million from the IPO, and she's like, I'm a masseuse. This never even occurred to me.
Wow. That's awesome. Oh, man. I knew I should have moved out west. Fantastic.
The opportunity costs for that are pretty bad, man. I mean, again, I go back to, I have friends that work out, that work back when I worked for CNET and worked in the home office, and they would start every meeting on the train, thank you for riding Caltrain, would be in the background of all of our conference calls, and these were well-paid vice presidents. They had a lot of money, and they're like, my good colleague Stephen Howard Sarandon, who is now the head of advertising at eBay and still takes good money, like every meeting would start with, thanks for riding Caltrain, and he lived like 90 minutes away. I'm like, okay, if you have to live 90 minutes away from the office, like, I'm going to be living in a cardboard box, and they got to pay a bum $20 a week to guard with a rusty shovel,
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly it. Yeah, I was just out in around L.A. About 2 weeks ago, something like that, and gorgeous, beautiful. I stayed with some family that were in the hills around L.A., absolutely stunning sunrises and sunsets, and gorgeous, and the running was fantastic, running up in the hills there, and all that, I asked them, general terms, how much their house, which basically has no yard, for the kids and all this, how much it ran. Like, no, I can't afford that. I like you said, I'd be living in a shack down by the river,
Didn't you make a promise earlier?
That masseuse who got $4 million from Google could almost afford a two-bedroom house with a 10-square-foot garden.
Yes. Yes. They would have an orange tree in that garden, but yes.
Jay Michael promised that he'd do Cool Sites of the Week this week.
Oh, we gotta move.
He has been running late for the past several weeks.
Yes. So. Well, without Dave here to keep me in line, this is what happened. So Jay, so we got the answer to last week's, which was fantastic. Now, you said this is going to be a very obscure geek trivia question, though, for this coming week. What should we, well, and by we, I mean Customer Jones, be contemplating for the coming week?
Well, this week marks the second anniversary of a type of space disaster that has been predicted for literally decades, but somehow has only happened once, and it happened 2 years ago this week. So the question is, what obscure but long-expected space disaster happened 2 years ago, and who were the two countries involved?
Wow.
Interesting. Boy, I don't want to hazard a guess. That's a good one, though.
It's ringing a bell, but I can't quite remember.
Yeah, not for me. As usual, I sit here some days and I just think, man, I am so smart. And then I talk to Jay.
It's not about smarts. It's about a Google connection and time on your hands.
No, that's not true, Jay. You do such a great job explaining difficult concepts, complex ideas. You're just a great communicator.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that, and my wife would vehemently disagree.
Well, there's communication on this level, and then there's communicating with our significant and much superior others, and that's a whole other, and
in relationships, you know, they say the best thing about, you know, a good thing about relationship is communication, but as men we know sometimes you could have too much of that.
Yes,
I am patient zero for that exact idea.
Patient Zero. That's his nickname.
Jay
Patient Zero
Garmin. I like it. Absolutely. Well, Jay, thank you again so much for coming on and saving us. And I appreciate that at least there was a little less desperation in our voices this week. But you did a fantastic job as always. And people can always find out more about you at jaygarmin.net.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, fellas, and you guys get onto your cool sites and have a good weekend.
Will do. You too.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
What a guy. Love him.
Oh, Jay Garmin. Man, fantastic. Like I said, you can always find
Jay Patient Zero.
Patient Zero Garmin.
Yeah, that's still not it, but it's not a bad.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Something's going to happen with that. I am going to throw up. I'm not going to throw up. I'm going to put on. just a couple of quick, whatchamacallers. Spots and things.
Sponsorships.
Yeah, all that. I probably get
the
one
wonderful people that support our station. You're going to acknowledge them?
Absolutely.
What a guy.
And I want to mention you too, once again, you know, WRLR is a community-supported radio station. That means that you, the listener, are the one that has the control in your hands as to what you hear on air and whether or not we stay on air.
Be gentle with us.
Yes, please. There's a lot of great shows
and
on
kind.
Here. But again, one of those shows that are far better than ours. You can find them, most of them, here on WRLR. If you go to WRLR.fm, and I believe there's still that donate button there too, isn't there somewhere?
Yeah, I believe there is.
We haven't gotten rid of
it. I believe there is.
So you haven't missed your opportunity.
Yeah, the shows that are worse than us, we love, and the ones that are better than us, we hate.
That's yes, exactly. But you'll find them all there.
Yeah, so we don't like anybody.
All right, we'll be back at you in just a minute with some promised cool sights of the week. Don't leave.
Bye.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
A lot of kids need a place to live. A lot of kids don't have a good home. It's hard to imagine how difficult life is for these kids.
Each person has a different reason for becoming a foster parent through Camelot Care Centers.
It's been the most rewarding thing personally that I have ever experienced.
Camelot Care Centers, a foster agency for kids.
If we can just give them a good, safe home to live.
Camelot Care Centers, a foster agency for kids.
For further information on becoming a foster parent, Family Development Specialist Ginny Zarinoboff can be reached at 1-630-773-1985.
Maybe you can't change the whole world, but you can change the world of a child.
Stat Fitness Clubs of Round Lake are committed to providing a positive, clean, and safe environment for their health fitness members. Both Round Lake facilities offer 24-hour access 7 days per week. The phone number is 847-740-SNAP. The website is roundlakeill@snapfitness.com. Snap Fitness offers two Round Lake locations, one on Route 120 just east of Cedar Lake Road, and the second at Wilson Road by the Valley Lakes Water Tower.
J Street Radio. 98.3. All right. Oh, wait, we weren't supposed to play that song. We were supposed to play...
I don't, Michael. I think it's...
Ah! That's what we're supposed to play.
Sit back,
that
relax.
Was a song
listen to the cool sights of the week. There are, you know, you can find, you know, all kinds of places you can go look and find people that recommend websites, but Michael does it better than anybody.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I do a great job. Like, as Jay said, with an internet connection and Google, you really can't go wrong.
And time on your hands.
I do okay. And time on your hands. Yeah. Lots of time on your hands. All right. I've got a couple of really good ones this week I want to tell you about. Now, here's the first one I'm going to give you. It's a cool app of the week. Gosh, I wish I had an iPhone sometimes. And this is one of those times. Not very often, I'll admit, but occasionally, this just sounds too cool. I wish I had an iPhone to use this. Hopefully, they'll come out with an Android app soon. If you're an Evernote user, this is very, very cool. It's called Evernote Hello. And you go to evernote.com/hello, and you'll find an app that you can install for your iPhone. It's free. What it does is it redefines the way that you manage your contacts. And it keeps a timeline of your contact interaction. Anytime you are going to add a new contact, it prompts you to take a picture of them. And so this does a couple of interesting things. One is, of course, now you can find your contacts visually, and it saves it in Evernote, but you can import and export from Evernote to your Apple contact manager, whatever that may be. I don't have an iPhone, so I'm not sure what it is, but you can use one or the other. And not only does it allow you to visually manage those contacts, but it keeps track of them as far as when you met them and who you were with when you met them as well. So if you add three or four contacts at the same time, it's going to remember that as a group for you.
Wow.
And you can find people based upon their connection to others. And it just looks really neat and
interesting.
A really cool idea. I like the idea. You know, I can many, many times I'll remember people's faces, but their name escapes me. So trying to find someone in my contacts can be a very rather frustrating experience. But this would allow you to not only be able to place them by name, but by their face, by the time that you met them, and by the place that you met them at. So and associated with the people that you met them during or with.
Soon we won't need our memories at all.
Gosh, I cannot wait. Mine has been in need of an upgrade for several years now.
Oh, yeah.
So that would...
Well, don't worry. There'll be an app for that soon. You know, memory training, you know.
That would be nice.
Siri will, you know, drill you. And.
Yep. Now I got another one here. And again, this is iPhone only. iPhone and iPad only. Do you use your phone as an alarm clock?
No, never.
No.
You know who does? Jay does.
Jay
Wilson does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yoko, also known as Yoko.
Yoko
does that all the time.
No, familiarly on the show.
That's her only alarm clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she puts it in, you know, like two rooms away and...
Oh, that forces you to have to get up and mess with that thing. Oh, man. Well, she may like this.
Yeah.
This is called Snooze. Now, this is your typical, it's a typical alarm clock sort of idea. And it's got a snooze button on it so that when the alarm goes off, you can hit snooze and snooze for another 10 minutes, you know, just like you normally would. The difference here, what makes this really neat, is that it allows you to give 25 cents to a nonprofit in the Let Give network every time you hit snooze. So trying to convince yourself to either get up earlier or to help you donate to charity.
That's really mixed motivation, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you want to be, you know, generous and kind and everything, but you want to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so you sleep till, you know, 24 hours and the charity makes like 20 bucks or something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, but if you, if you're sitting there, though, I think it'll force you to think, it's like, oh, do I want to give another quarter? I should just get out of bed. And I've been using my phone now to do a lot more alarm clocking for me because of my travel that I've been doing. And I don't trust the hotel clock, and half the time I don't trust, you know, the nice lady down at the front desk to actually remember to give me a call back. And so that's been kind of nice.
Cool.
But I don't have an iPhone, so I can't do those. I got time for I think at least one more here. This hits back into my I don't know what you would call it. My repertoire of just favorite types of sites, favorite things that I like to mess around with on the computer.
Yeah.
And it's my fallback. I love going back to sites like this. Fonts. I love having crazy new different fonts. I wish I had the time to make my own fonts and the artistic inclination to make my own fonts. I don't. So I love coming across sites like this. This is MissTina.com/fonts. And you can just go to MissTina.com. You can find it easily there too. There's a tab at the top for fonts. She has a whole set of free fonts with names like Jumpin' Jack and Stampin' Rachel, I Heart Sketches.
And it can make such a big difference in your documents. I mean, people don't, you know, I have downplayed that over the years, but I found that they're just wonderful. Fonts can really change the whole tenor of your message.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. If you find yourself creating a poster or something like that, and you're choosing Comic Sans, you know, again, just stop, and go to the, go look at our listing of cool sites at techtalk.wrlr.com.
You just sounded a little too into it, Mike.
I hate seeing poorly used fonts that are overused, or, you know, if you see a document that's got four or five different fonts, that drives me crazy, too. Yeah. And if you go to a place like this, MissTina.com, and they've got ones that are set up like for Valentine's. There's one called I Heart Sketches, and it's little fonts where you can type this nice little cursive kind of font, but it's also got some wingdings with the hearts, so you can type, you know, I Heart You and things like that, and it looks really neat. It looks like you hand wrote it.
I'm going to change what I just said. It doesn't sound like you're too much into this. You are too much. Wingdings with hearts in them.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, just. I think you come on back.
They also have Heart Doodle is another one.
A little too far in.
Okay, maybe I am gone a little bit too far. So we're going to call that a show right there. and you know, I am going to leave you with the podcast only song of the week. This is, I apologize, this is exactly the same. If you listened last week, this is the exact same song that we did last week, but I'm playing it because Dave is here this week, and I know that Dave would love this show, this song, the podcast only song of the week this week, and you missed it last week, and I shouldn't have played it. I should have played something else with the knowledge you were coming back in a week or two and get this one for you. It's called Hit 'Em Up Style by the Carolina Chocolate Drops off of their album Genuine Negro Jig. It's a fantastic song. It's great. You're going to love it. I know you will, and for those that listened to it last week, listen to it again. It's just that good.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to WRLR Round Lake Heights,
Illinois, and Tech Talk. And come back next week.
I love having you. Yeah. See you next time.
I got the wrong songs playing. I don't know what's going on. Okay, here we go. Here we go. All right.
See you next time.
I was beaming in his beamer, just beaming. Can't believe that I caught my man cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree. And on the way, I grabbed Soleil and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I threw everything away. Your hands on his cash and spend it to the last time for all the hard times. When you go, then everything goes from the crib to the ride in the clothes. So you better let him know that if he messes up, you gotta hit him up. Dreams we used to say. There goes the love I had, but you cheated on me, and that's for that now. There goes the house we made a home. There goes you'll never leave me alone. There go the lies you told. This is what you in his clothes and my bag and threw everything out till there was just nothing left. And I paid all the bills about a month too late. It's a shame we have to play these games. The love we had just fades away, fades away. To the last time for all the hard times. When you go, then everything goes from the crib to the ride in the clothes. So you better let him know that if he mess up, you gotta hit him up.